Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show on the way. And my God, we got a lot of sports. Thank you for sticking with us, those that did throughout the summer. We did our thing, though, this summer. We didn't have to break down best sports films of all time. There's plenty to talk about, so I feel like we're in a good place. But you know what time it is. It's real now. Football's here. So we got a loaded show for you. We want to thank you, as always, for spending part of your evening with the nonsense it is we do around here. We also want to thank future Hall of Famer, our guy, Patrick Riley, a real estate professional with Century 21 Select, specializing in properties in Chico and Butte Meadows. Patrick is dedicated to helping buyers and sellers achieve their real estate goals with kind quality service. Patrick can be reached at 530-588-6593. That's 588-6593. You can also find Patrick Riley on Facebook or running the Miami Heat organization in his downtime. Guy's got many hats. Shouts to him. Shouts to you. We got too much of a show to delay anymore. So with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, talking about practice starts right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
You know the drill. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I'm your co-host, Jero. Of course, I got our resident degenerate. If you got it, then spend it because you can't take this money with you. Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby.
We have our producer extraordinaire, the Mac Daddy himself, Stepman Brett.
Yeah!
And returning to the show for the first time in, I believe, 5+ years, we got the one, the only, Noobs!
What's up, boys? Glad to be back.
Let's go! All right, so for those of you unfamiliar, Noobs was part of Say Hey for many years with our boy, the godfather of our show, Jake Sprecher.
Yes, sir.
And he hung out with us for a bit before he disappeared forever. But you're back.
But forever's over.
Forever is a mighty long time, and forever is done with. So with the start of the new NFL season, we couldn't think of a better time to have our boy in. So we're gonna have some fun with Noobs today.
Thanks for having me back.
Of course, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Might have to do a little reminiscing, take a little walk down memory lane.
Absolutely.
A little later on, Derek should be here shortly. He's doing Derek things. We never know what he's doing. But that's the way I like it. That's the way our relationship's always been, and that's how I appreciate it. Keep them guessing at all times. All right, listen, it's back. Boys and girls, it is back. NFL season has started. So let's start right there. Week one is almost in the books. As we were starting the show, we saw Aaron Rodgers about to get carted off the field. So that's sketch. We don't know what to make of that just yet because it just happened. But let's talk about the things that are already in the books. Where do you boys want to start? Let's start with this. There was a couple standouts from yesterday. Whoa, I skipped past 9/11.
I was going to say, are we just jumping past that?
I forgot. Yeah, let's never forget.
Yeah.
This is a pretty important day in American history. 22 years ago?
22 years ago, yep.
It's crazy it's been 22 years already. I think everyone remembers where they were. Mm-hmm. And obviously our hearts and thoughts and all of that goes out to all the victims, all the firefighters, all the first responders. That took part in that day. My aunt actually worked in Tower 2 and got caught up in an appointment that morning and did not show up to work because she was late.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, she was way up there too, so it would have been a bad news bear. So.
Did you ever know what floor she was on?
One of the high ones.
One of the high ones. Past 70 at least.
I don't know, but you know, she's still with us to this day. So of course want to just take a moment there before I was so excited about football I forgot about this great American tragedy that changed the course of history forever, really.
Yeah.
We have friends that went and fought in Iraq and Afghanistan shortly thereafter, so shouts to all the men and women who have served this country too.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of great stories that came from that tragedy of the American spirit coming through. A lot of the heroism, not just from the firefighters, but from the workers within the World Trade Centers, took a hold of mantle that they never were meant to take hold of. So
well said, sir. Yes. Let's keep it moving. Let's get into football.
Also, the passengers on what was it, Flight 93?
Yeah, that's right.
To know that it wasn't going to go good, so to get plane down in the field before it hit something else.
Aimed at the White House, going for the
Washington.
White House.
Yeah.
So that was brave on them as well.
For sure.
Paying the ultimate sacrifice right there.
So,
all right. Football, my bad. clunky start to the beginning of the show, but hey, I was just too excited.
It's never an easy subject.
Yeah.
It's never going to be.
No.
So.
But we're here now, so let's talk week one. Let's talk about the standouts. A couple things that stood out to me yesterday. The Dolphins, their offense was insane. The Niners look like a complete team. Nick Bosa said after the game that Purdy shut up some haters. Like, listen, if you're a Niners fan, you've been watching, you're not necessarily surprised by that. But let's give it a few games.
What do you mean a few games?
He had a great.
I'm all on board.
He's 8-0, bro.
Yeah,
for sure. You can understand if there's going to be a little regression to the mean. You know what I mean? He had a great year last year, but sometimes that happens, and I'm not calling him a flash in the pan. I think he's the real deal. I saw it last year when, you know, he was playing in the preseason.
Yeah.
You know, before it was even going to be Trey and then Jimmy, and I was like, man, God forbid something happens. They're in good hands.
Right.
And I also saw him, I think it was at Iowa State back in the day, too.
Yep.
And, you know, taking those Cyclones teams to bowls and, you know, successful seasons. So he's got it. He's got that sort of it factor, but the fact that he was picked so late, it's kind of understandable for people that aren't in the Niners camp to be like, well, we'll see what happens.
Fair enough.
I mean, he looked good.
Yeah.
He looked great.
And after that horrific injury in the NFC Championship,
you're just
praying that he's going to be okay. And, you know, he looks like the kind of dude who's just going to get in there and do the work, watch the film, you know?
Yeah.
So, and he's got a great team surrounding him. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and when you think about what he's been through, keep in mind this guy didn't throw a pass until June, since last January, right? With that tear in the elbow, he has not been throwing. So to come out and perform like that, I thought was as impressive as anything I saw Sunday. And again, that team is loaded and had cleared $45 million of cap space somehow, so they could continue to improve the talent on that roster. And this is why having a quarterback on a rookie deal is so valuable, because all your cap space isn't tied up in one quarterback or in one player. So now is the time. If the Niners are ever going to be all in, now is the absolute time. And you saw how balanced that team was on offense, on defense. Even their kicker, Moody, their third-round draft pick, came out and played well. So plenty of reason for Rudy and I to be excited for the Niners season. And I just want to make a proclamation this right now. I am team pessimist all the time. I am going to do my absolute best this season.
Just don't leave, bro, during the playoffs.
Okay, yeah. So, noobs, to catch you up to speed, the last two championship games we lost, I was out of town.
Okay.
Rudy and I and a squad of us Niner fans get together for all the playoff games, and we win all of them when I've been in town, and then every time I leave, we seem to lose in a championship game.
Didn't we already figure out you're going to be gone?
Aren't you leaving this year too?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
That's correct.
Stephanie, please, by all means, just switch it up.
What I'm hearing is if the Niners made it to the NFC Championship game,
fade.
fade so hard on that game, you get all your money back right then and there.
Or if the Niners organization wants to send my lovely fiance, you know, some first class tickets somewhere and wants to make up for the whatever surprise trip she's planned for me, that would work too.
It's a surprise trip too.
Yeah, I have no idea where
we're going. She's doing this to the now. NFC I'm pissed. No.
Watch her take him to the NFC Championship game, wherever that is. To make sure if the Niners are in it, that's where she's taking them.
All right. Yeah, that's the one exception.
Okay.
That's it.
That would be a decent little surprise.
That would be the craziest.
She knows the past few years have been difficult for you.
Yeah, you boys go ahead and have that conversation with
her. I'm not going to have that. I'm going to let her have the surprise.
Anywho, the Niners look great, like I said, in all three phases of the game. What's his name? Oh, my God. The defensive lineman.
Greenlaw?
No, Drake. Is it Drake Johnson? Why am I? Anywho,
I'll
Drake. Yes. Yeah. He had two and a half sacks. Murdered it. Brandon Ayuk destroyed everyone.
Yes.
Patrick Peterson needs to just keep his mouth shut. Jackson, thank you. Patrick Peterson, I don't know if you guys saw him during the week. He just kept on talking like, oh, we know what plays he's got, the Niners are going to be calling left and right, blah, blah. And last time I saw, he was getting his ankles broken.
Oh, yeah. He got broke off
and,
on that one
even,
touchdown by Ayuk.
Yeah. Even Purdy called him out in the press conference saying, oh, is that one on Patrick? Indeed it was. So stop talking, dude.
I absolutely love trash talk. It's I think all sports should be more like professional wrestling, in my opinion. So I was into it. I dug it. It was a lot of fun as a Niners fan. Another standout yesterday, the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
That was a beatdown.
Wow.
We came into this game saying that, or into this season, saying that we expected big things from the Cowboys with that defense. But yesterday was even more impressive than, I mean, it's as impressive as you can start a season. You really can't do any better than that.
So I got a stat on that one that has never happened before. So the Cowboys took the Giants 40-0. Interceptions thrown in
favor. Hold on. Let's get the useless stat of the day.
Okay,
and
sorry.
I know what the stat is because I had the same one and it's incredible.
It
so
is.
Let's give the proper build up.
All right.
You're good.
Cowboys beat them 40-0. Interceptions thrown were in favor for the Cowboys 2-0. Sacks in favor for the Cowboys 7-0. Turnovers, 3-0 in favor of the Cowboys. And also they had a interception, ran back for a touchdown, and a block was a block punt, block kick.
Block field goal.
Block field goal, ran back for a touchdown. That has never happened in an NFL season by a team.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
This happened in a game.
That's wild.
Wow, that's
so yeah. So that the Giants were an historical precedent there, and it was not pretty.
Let's keep in mind this was a team that won a road playoff game last season.
Giants have a good team.
Well, they did, but the
Giants are a good team except for last night.
They did not show it last night.
It looked like
which I was here to enjoy as much as I hate the Cowboys. I enjoy just when a team has expectations and comes out. It's mainly it's Daniel Jones's face.
Yeah, it's a punchable face.
It's got a real... It's
the most generic-looking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He looks like a wooden doll that was made in the 50s.
Wooden doll.
You know what I mean? It's what AI... Like
dead.
Yeah.
When you ask AI to create a white person,
that's
who they create.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
No parameters,
doll.
Nothing, just
that.
White person. And Daniel Jones pops up.
That's awesome. Wooden doll.
That's incredible.
With no expressions whatsoever.
I know,
just
right?
Blank face.
Yep. Absolutely dominated last night.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, listen, long season, but that Cowboys defense is for real. Michael Parsons is the truth. And we'll see. I mean, I think that team will go as far as the offense can take them. You know, Dak looked okay last night. He didn't have to do too much because the defense was scoring touchdowns left and right, and so was special teams. But, yeah, long season. Cowboys look good. I was surprised a couple that in the NFC, both the Niners and Cowboys look so great, look like some of the stronger teams we have. I do want to go back to the Dolphins where we started here.
Mm-hmm.
That offense looks filthy. They just look so damn fast. And when you have Raheem Mostert, you have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle as offensive weapons, they have to be the fastest team in the league as far as you go from a skill set. Those dudes are speed burners. And what Tua did yesterday, 466 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, 1 terrible interception, and 110 quarterback rating. Insane. And that pass, the pass he threw on the run to Tyreek was stupid, and then the one he threw in the end zone, he couldn't have put that ball anywhere else. It was a perfect pass. He ear-holed the cornerback there, and it was absolutely filthy. So I think the Dolphins, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with this season. If
they got to keep him upright.
Yeah, that's the big caveat, right? They got to keep Tua healthy. If they could keep Tua healthy, I think they're going to be a problem.
Chance. Yeah, definitely. For sure. Especially with Jalen Ramsey coming back in late November, December. It's just going to add to their defense. So,
is that the toughest division of football? AFC East?
It's got to be, right? Yeah. On paper, yeah. Right. I mean, your Patriots looked good yesterday. The Eagles tried to give up that game twice. The Pats are going to be so much better with one offensive coordinator versus two.
Versus two defensive coordinators?
Yeah, well, and a person that actually calls offensive plays. Yeah, an offensive coach.
That's helpful.
It's kind of important.
And Bill Belichick is single now, so he's playing pissed off or coaching pissed off.
Wait,
so.
What?
Yeah.
He got divorced?
I don't think he ever got married to his recent girl, but...
Oh, okay.
Pretty. It's like 30 years younger than him.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, that one,
yeah. Of course.
So he's on his revenge body season.
So, yeah, it's
I get it.
It's pissed off Belichick right now. Right. And, you know, and you don't want to face that. Anyone. And then who else? Bills, Patriots, Jets.
See what happens here.
And then who else?
Dolphins.
Dolphins. That stacked.
So one of them's not going to get in to the playoffs. And my bet, I hate to say this because I'm a longtime New England Patriots fan from Connecticut originally, but Mac Jones to me just like really makes some boneheaded moves. And then on that one pick, then he runs the sideline to attempt to make a tackle, barely gets an arm on the guy. It was a really pathetic attempt. And I'm just like, listen, you just threw that pick. Like, you got to make the stop.
Yeah.
If you're the last guy there on the sideline.
100%.
And he just gets blown right by, barely puts an arm out. And I'm like, yeesh. That's just not a hustle play, especially when that was your fault. And that's a 7-point swing right there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. And they wind up losing by 5. So,
we'll see.
I mean, I like the running game. They're returning, I think, 10 out of 11 starters on defense.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, I think the defense will be solid. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough division. You got 6 games against those other teams. And then I think they're playing the West this year in the AFC. So, that's, you know, you got Chargers. LA or Vegas looked decent. You know, we'll see what's up with Denver. See if Sean Payton's like, you know, going to be able to turn.
Oh, let's talk about Denver because
they were an absolute dumpster fire last year.
I loved it. Shout out to our boy John, TVP family member.
Shout out to John.
He's a stupid Denver fan, and I love when Russell Wilson looks bad. There's nothing that makes me happier in all of sports than when Russell Wilson is not playing well.
Mm-hmm.
And new head coach, same result. Lose to the Raiders, who happen to be number one in their division right now, which is absolutely crazy. So that was fun. Speaking of losers, Derek's here.
Good party, people. Oh, you want to turn on his mic? There we go. Apologize.
And I'm not talking about you as a human, and certainly not that gorgeous mustache, but I am talking about your pick of the Carolina Panthers.
You're welcome.
So as you know, during the NFL season, we do our parlay play where we all put in a pick every week. And we, between me, Stepman Brad, and Rude Dog, we were 3 for 3.
We were not.
No, Brad
I was under.
Did the ultimate jinx in the morning. Why would you ever do that?
Right. All right, never mind.
Yeah, don't ever.
Because you gave me the wrong pick.
What are you talking about?
It was under 44. You dropped it to.
I bought a point, bro. What are you talking about?
Anyways, we'll talk after the show.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because
they blew it out of the water. Yeah. But you don't, morning of the game, you never be like, I'm kind of scared of that pick. I'm like, you don't do that.
Because you dropped it.
How did I drop it?
It was under 44, and then it dropped to under 42.
That's what Vegas had it that day. Wait, okay, but so, it was still like 60 it points. Was
over here, 60.
Relax.
I'm over here calling out Derek, and I need to offer you an apology. You weren't wrong. Statman Brad.
Yeah.
Who bets the under?
I mean, the under is always hit, bro.
I hate betting
this
the
week
under.
Was yeah. under Central.
It was also under Dog Central, as I believe Dogs won 10 games this weekend.
Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Raiders.
Yeah.
The Lions. We haven't said anything about the Lions yet.
Right.
Lions look good.
That was
good.
A solid win.
Didn't smoke them. Beat the defending champs Thursday
night. They were down Kelsey, and they were down one of their wide receivers. Was it Chris Johnson or something like that? So
no, Chris Jones, but that's
Chris Jones.
Kelsey's
a
big
D lineman.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a D lineman? Oh, okay.
How much he means to that offense.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Chiefs without Kelsey, they're just lost out there.
I mean, they still played pretty decent in the first half. So yeah. I'm not willing to say it's over just yet.
No, not at all. Far from it.
Because they still have the best quarterback in the game. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to say, even though all rookie starting quarterbacks lost yesterday, I don't think any of these dudes are going to be a bust. I think Bryce Young showed some flashes. Stroud showed some flashes, and Anthony Richardson, as long as he's not taking hits like that every game, he'll be all right. And he showed why he could have been the top pick in the draft this past season. So let's talk about some quick disappointments. Joe Burrow, after signing the richest contract in NFL history, laid an absolute stinker, threw for, 81 yards?
It's disgusting.
It was just not pretty at all.
Disappointing fantasy owners everywhere. we already talked about the New York Football Giants. We talked about the Chiefs wide receivers. Am I missing anyone else? Is there anyone else who came out and just was butt soup yesterday?
I don't think so. I think
Nothing that was supposed to be good.
Jacksonville, maybe. I mean, they wound up winning that game by 14 or 10, but
10
they were losing late.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And, I don't know, 5-point favorite on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's the Colts, but it's like, you know what I mean? It's a divisional game. Are they going to be for real? I mean, I know Trevor Lawrence had a great year last year. And I like Doug Peterson as a coach. But, you know what I mean? It's just like, to not have that game in hand. I think they scored that last garbage cover touchdown with like 2 minutes to go.
Yep.
You know, I think it may even be an interception return. I'm not sure. So, you know. It's hard to say, well, a win's a win, right? But a win can also be sort of underwhelming, if you will. So if there's any other disappointments, at least in the AFC, I'd maybe see Jacksonville.
Okay.
Houston, we knew. I think Baltimore looked good at losing Dobbins is an absolute gut punch.
Devastation.
Because that offense was looking like a Super Bowl. It still might be.
Yeah.
I love the weapons they're putting around Jackson. It's going to take some pressure off him having to run all the time.
Right.
And even if Beckham isn't quite like what he was, he's still a good second, even a third option.
It's still Beckham Jr.
Yeah, and he had a good little run there with the Rams. What was that, 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl? So
yeah.
I think if he's healthy, he's still going to be good. I like the rookie Flowers.
I'm a big Flowers really guy.
You know, if you're them, if you're the GM, do you go out and try and get like a top-tier running back, make a trade? I mean, you can't.
I mean, Jonathan Taylor's sitting there.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
They're asking pretty heavy price right there. But, I mean.
What are they asking
when
for?
You're like one
they were asking for Watson from the Packers and Waddle from the Dolphins. That's what they were wanting.
Oh, yeah, that's
wild. They're asking for a lot. Just,
That's
stupid. You got to get draft capital.
And that's what the Packers were trying to give them was a lot of first and second round picks for him.
Speaking of the Packers.
I was shocked. Beyond
the
shocked.
The whole world was shocked.
I'm not going to change too much my tune. It's a better look than I was expecting to see. I have a little bit more faith in Love. But again, it's the Bears.
It's
so let's.
The Bears.
Yeah. So
they own the Bears.
They have a new daddy, is what it is.
I thought
daddy.
Aaron Rodgers
it's a stepdaddy.
Owned them, but apparently it's just the
pack.
Just the pack.
Daddy leaves and a stepdaddy comes in. No change, no difference. So it's a good look. I'm enjoying it, but we'll see what it looks like. So I don't think we're fighting for last place right now. I think we might be fighting for that second spot with the Vikings. Because I still think the Lions are taking that division.
I think the Vikings are paper tigers.
Yeah.
Last year they won, 10 games by one
score? One score.
Yeah, it was a lot of.
And their defense was trash.
Mm-hmm.
They lost that home game to the Giants.
And they don't have Thielen, which I think that's going to be huge.
And Dalvin Cook.
Yep, and Dalvin Cook. I think the Thielen on the receiving end is going to start clogging up a lot of what Justin Jefferson was allowed to do because Thielen's a solid wide receiver.
For sure.
And he took a lot of pressure off of Jefferson, but now there's really no weapons over there.
Yeah, you got Osborne still. KJ Osborne. He's good.
He's decent, but he's not going to be the
he's not going to bring focus away from Jefferson. You're going to have double team on Jefferson. And honestly, without Cook there, and they don't really have a good running back, they might triple up on him in certain situations to prevent him from getting anywhere. So I think the Vikings definitely – actually, you know what, talking about it a little bit more?
Yeah.
I think the Packers got the number two spot.
Yep.
But again, Lions still will take that number one spot.
It's tough to
They're such a good team, and they're so young, even though they have a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Division champion
Lions.
Yeah. But it really is. It's weird.
I said that was Barry Sanders 30 years ago.
That is weird hearing it.
Yeah.
I guess Stafford had a couple good teams there.
They won the division.
They made a couple wild card
spots. And then a lot of analysts will say that if Stafford was on a different team, completely different career, he showed it with the Rams. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a solid number one quarterback.
Absolutely.
But just was on the Lions for so long. So
yeah, they had Calvin Johnson too, and still
there's a reason why Megatron left. Is like, at a certain point, body's getting beaten up, and the same thing I think will happen to Justin Jefferson if he stays over in the with the Vikings, because he's the number one guy. He's going to get thrown around, beat up. Yeah.
Yep. Agreed. All right. I do want to talk a little baseball with the season getting close to wrapping up here. The Giants, man, still a game and a half out. I don't know what to make of that. We've gone over their schedule about 100 times the last couple weeks, and it's just not looking pretty. It doesn't get any better for them. I don't know what the path is, aside from them getting hot at the very end here.
That's not going to happen.
And it's going to be tough. Like
seven of their last 10 against LA, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
It's seven of the last 10.
Maybe the Dodgers are taking their foot off the gas a little.
At that point, not with the Giants.
Even then,
not
though, we're
with
still
going to
lose.
Again, until the Giants get to the Diamondback series, and if they're over 2.5 games, I'll call it. But if they can get those two games against the Diamondbacks, they're only a game and a half. That's huge if they can get those two games, and then they just have to grind out these Dodgers and Padres. Sure. So we still have a week before we get to that point. Guardians, and then four games against the Rockies. If we can sweep the Rockies and take 2 out of 3 against the Guardians, we're in good standing going into the Diamondbacks.
For sure.
Yeah, but you still have to go to L.A. for four, right?
Four for L.A., but then you're home.
I hate that
Then
so
you're
much.
Home for six. So you end the season at home, but again, you're playing against the Dodgers. So
I'd feel a little more comfortable with it if there wasn't so many teams that they're having to navigate through.
Yeah.
Not just from their schedule perspective, but, I mean, you got the Cubs right there, the Reds, I think the Marlins.
The Marlins,
still hanging around.
Yep. I think the Marlins are...
the D-backs woke up.
I mean, not really. I mean, when you're looking at the wild card right now, Arizona's got that last spot. The Cubs are above them, so we don't really have to navigate them. We just have the Miami Marlins at our game above us, half game behind the Diamondbacks,
right.
And we're right now tied with the Cincinnati Reds. And the Padres are 8 behind the Diamondbacks. So it's just Cincinnati, Giants, and Miami that are vying for that last spot along with Arizona. So I think the season with Miami, they've got a few more games, I believe, with the
Atlanta.
Braves.
Yeah.
Oh, I take that. Yeah, few more. The last series they come up with, the 3-game series against the Braves coming up, and they got 6 against the Mets and 7 against the Brewers. So it... The Brewers are going to be a challenge for them if they can get past that. Right now, they're not. They're down 6-0, so that'll bring them right to where we need them. So if we get the win today...
It's a lot of moving parts to try to sneak backdoor into the playoffs.
We're not sneaking backdoor. We're just trying to squeeze our way through the door past Miami.
I'd rather lose and fire everyone, start fresh. there's no point of making the damn playoffs because we're going to lose first round.
Well, I mean,
you know,
Philly was the 6th seed last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's Philly, though.
They have a great lineup.
Philly is...
But I feel like the Giants have decent enough pitching, you know what I mean? And they can eke out a few runs here and there. I mean, you just never know in a 3
I think
five,
we could definitely make it
games.
Out of...
You're right, but I hate Gabe Kapler. Yeah.
I agree.
Same here. It is what it is.
It's the hand tattoo, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. That tattoo.
And his dashing good looks.
And that black beard that he
I
has,
don't want my manager
black.
To be... A handsome man. I want him to be an old school.
That's chewing tobacco in the dugout, you know?
Yeah. Give me a Republican, you know? Like, that's who I want as my manager. I want an old school Republican. That's who I need as my manager of my baseball team.
So if the Giants Basically, whoever takes that last spot will be facing the Dodgers for that five-game series. So if the Giants make it in, the Giants will be playing the Dodgers for a five-game set. Which honestly, once again, that needs to be those need to be seven-game series for that because that's just a rivalry waiting to happen in that seven-game series. You have the famous Red Sox versus the Yankees. That was a seven-game set. They need to have a Dodgers-Giants seven-game series, but for a while
we need to get better before we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we're okay. We'll see how the season ends with them.
You're not okay, dude. Yeah. I don't know what Giants baseball you're watching.
I appreciate
we are trash.
It's been a while since I watched Giants baseball, so this is okay for me. This is okay for me.
There is a path to that, I believe, right? Because if they finish sixth, they play the three seed. The one and two get byes.
No, I thought it was the one seed that only got a bye.
No, one and two, and then it goes three versus six.
Oh, then we'll play.
Four versus five. If you get through the first series, then you go to Atlanta.
So if that's the case, then we'll play Milwaukee.
Even Atlanta?
Right. Yeah, this is going to be.
But then if you beat Atlanta, then maybe the Dodgers.
If we beat Atlanta. They crushed us.
They're world beaters.
They mollywomped
right
us.
I really hate it. Oh, God.
They're winning the World Series, I think. When it comes down to it.
Probably. Well, it's baseball, though. Baseball can be random in the playoffs. You just got to get hot. I mean, look at the Giants. All three times they won the World Series, they were favored in, like, two of those series.
Yeah, they were wild card in one of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I believe in two, right?
No, I think just one.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to say 2012.
That's when they played the Pirates, one game play-in.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was before it went to six. It's only been six for, what, like 2 years now?
Yeah. Which was a great move by Major League Baseball, by the way. It makes it a lot more interesting.
It keeps more franchises in the talk, but it's like you play 162 games for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want it to be like basketball where it's like over half the league gets in.
Agreed. Yeah, that's true.
It starts to get ridiculous.
Yeah.
Agreed.
You know, and then you're going to have like a team that like barely wins 85 games get hot at the right time, and it's like, okay. I mean, I get it, but and it does keep things more exciting. But also, sort of takes away from some of the flow of the number one and the number two seeds because they've got to sit there and wait for 3 days.
Yeah.
And as we all know, baseball is all about momentum. It's all about rhythm. So I don't know if it's really that much of an advantage as opposed to, say, like in the NFL, it's really good to have that week off, get that bye, you know what I mean, be at home, get rested, get healthy. I think in baseball, maybe it's not so much of an advantage.
Agreed.
100%. Yeah. That's a good point. Derek recently went to Fenway on a very cool trip. You took your dad for his birthday. Give us a review of the stadium.
I mean, it's Fenway, you know. It's a mecca. If you're a baseball fan, obviously it's a place that's going to ring true to anyone. Just the lores, the history, the ambiance, the environment, everything, all the adjectives you can think of. It was spectacular for sure. Definitely, like I said, even if you're not really a baseball fan, just a casual, and just it's a cool spot. The way that they put on a show there is very entertaining. Got lucky enough to score some really good seats for one of the games we went to.
You're right behind the dugout.
Yeah, right behind the Dodger dugout. So kind of chatting up with some of the players here and there and whatnot. Yeah, it was a really that was a great experience for sure, and just like an epic view of the monster right there. And just the field, and it also with it being Mookie Betts' return to Fenway, it was just nice seeing the crowd give him love every single time he came up to bat. At every game, we went to two of the three games there, and both games they obviously gave him standing O's his first plate appearance, and they did it in the first game as well. So the town really loves their baseball, and it was just an epic experience. The food, the city was fun. I mean, didn't really get a chance to really truly explore a city. We were just really there for a weekend to see the games and, you know, didn't disappoint. So, yeah, dude, Fenway, obviously a place that has to be on your bucket list if you've never been there before, if you are a baseball fan of any nature.
It's one of those places, I imagine, where you could kind of feel the history walking in there.
It's awesome. It's kind of annoying, though. I tried to go up to the Green Monster, but you had to have Green Monster tickets for it. Which, I mean, I walked past the girl and just ignored her for as long as I possibly could. And she was trying to get me to come back, and I was just like, no. And she was like, I just called you like four times. I was like, well, there's 1,000 people here. I don't know who the guy you're talking about is.
Yeah.
I'm just continuing to walk because I'm trying to see it right
400
now.
400 mustaches out here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just one of them. So, yeah. Someone just take that was just a little like that's just annoying. I hate when places do that, like section off areas because
just relax.
I get it. If I'm standing there with the game's happening and somebody's sitting there, get me out of it.
Different,
I want to see. And you, that to me is terrible customer service on their behalf. Get better, Boston. Kind of disgusting out there. So totally ruined the experience. So Boston, you suck. There you go. Yeah, can't wait to see from
you
the
You expect Boston turnaround. Attitude yeah. to be customer service friendly? Yeah.
No, but at least let me see the Green Monster. Like, let me know. Like, yeah, I get it. Don't be nice to me, but just let me sit up there, you know? You know, like, tell me to kick rocks as I leave. But you know, at least let me stand up there, you know?
Fenway, it's got to be on everyone's bucket list. Boston, you suck.
Boston, you suck. Yeah, to go. Just everyone, just go to the Green Monster no matter what. Everyone flood it. Just make sure you're there when you get there, even if you don't have a ticket, because tell them all to suck it. You know, I want to see it from this angle. This is an epic angle, and you're trying to deny me because I didn't have a ticket for that. I'm pretty sure that's communism 101 right there.
I wanted to just get to the stat real quick, and then we'll take a quick break. But speaking of the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw's career ERA, as much crap as we give Clayton Kershaw, is 2.49. That is a better ERA than anyone's in the Major League Baseball right now this season.
The dude was epic for about a decade period of time where he was just absolutely filthy on the mound during the regular season, where obviously as a Dodger fan had the pleasure of being able to witness many of those games, and some of those seasons, 16, 15, 14 in particular, those he hit a stretch where it's like 1.79 ERA. It was just absolutely filthy. He's the last pitcher to have 300 Ks in a season, I believe. I want to say he's the last one to have. It's the game has obviously changed in terms of it. He was part of that, you know, in that last kind of era of like those dominant starting pitchers that wanted to go as long as possible. He's kind of the last of a dying breed at this point in time. There are a few that are popping up that want to show their strength out there. But then you have people like Jack Kirby on the Seattle Mariners claiming that he should have been taken out in the seventh inning, didn't think he was going out there again, when you should, as a starting pitcher, think that this game is yours. That's no longer the issue anymore. And he's one of those people that was kind of that last one. You have Justin Verlander still out there dealing, Max Scherzer. Garrett Cole is one of those dogs for sure. But obviously, the domination he had is in this time, in those 2010s, is second to none. Obviously, everyone's going to throw his postseason attributes out there. And again, that's a different animal. The postseason is a completely different world. And you have a 70% chance of not winning the World Series the moment you enter the postseason. So your odds are beatingly stacked against you. And it's unfortunate that he got, you know, doesn't have the domination of one of those series kind of have on his back to really just be that guy, as so many Hall of Fame pitchers have in their resume, of having like a season and a postseason where they put the team on their back and just threw them to the title.
Yeah, he never had a Bumgarner moment.
Never had a Bumgarner moment for sure. Bumgarner
not
had
yet though. You never know.
You never know. The guy still has his age.
This
but
could be it.
Yeah.
I mean, they need him, right?
Bueller's he got no starting pitching right now.
Out indefinitely, right?
Because I mean, Julio Urias is now probably will never see another MLB mound ever again.
He'll probably go to Japan with Trevor Brower.
He'll be in Japan.
Another Dodger.
Yeah. We know how to get them, you know. We know how to pick them. You get some real dogs out there, and our fans too, man. Watch out where you come step into Dodger Stadium.
Quick question: how were Boston fans towards you?
Oh, to be honest, there were so many Dodger fans they couldn't really say anything.
Oh, like, really?
Especially the section that we were in because we were behind the dugout. Predominantly Dodger fans in there, so like you hear "Let's go Dodgers" very often in that stadium. Very chanted, 100%.
Okay,
that's one thing I will say. Honestly, about the Dodgers, we travel better than anybody I've ever seen out there. Huh. We take up sections. We are blue, and you see us there.
Yeah, we've
and
seen it.
There's a really cool.
We hate it.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I've seen it. I honestly, there's a part of me that loves it, but also hates it too. Because I loved when I went into Giant Stadium as like one of the
just
the
be
few,
the only
the proud,
person,
you know, the there. Few, the proud in the area, the one that was willing to take the heat that came my way. I loved it. I loved the smack talk when I was one of them. Now they can't because there's just so many of us. And it's like if you try to dog on me, there's gonna be another one right behind me. You know. And we literally took up a section one of the games we were at. Like literally, the entire section was entirely Dodger blue. And they have there's a really good organization out there. It's called Pantone 269 or something. It's the Dodger actual blue color that they pretty much, you buy tickets and they set up everything for you. So they really make sure that it's a cool what they're doing. And again, like I said, we're everywhere. You know, it's an iconic brand, an iconic team. I mean, the LA is probably one of the top 10 logos of all time, I got to imagine. Like just the LA, just what it is and what it's been for fashion and all that. It's iconic.
It's like the NY for New York. I mean, it's right up there with that as well.
Yeah. I mean, Boston has some lore in there too with that B.
So going back to your Scherzer comment about the 300 strikeouts.
Did he have one of there?
He was 2015, but the most recent one was the Cole and Verlander race back in 19. That was the last time it happened.
Either way, they're one of the few that 300 strikeouts, which is just
it's a dying breed,
an
like
insane
you said.
Thing to think about when you go over it. And
yeah,
it's
that's,
just
if you're pitching close to 200 innings, that's a strikeout and a half per inning. Yep. That's insane. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I mean, at this point in time, it's kind of tough to get 200 innings out of guys, too.
Yeah.
Analytics, like, you know, you were just talking earlier about guys wanting to stay in there and keep the ball and keep going. Like, you know, felt just one quick example, Blake Snell in the World Series against the Dodgers.
Yeah, big one there.
He got taken out, and the next guy came in and gave up two runs.
He's going to blast him right after.
And it's like, you know, I understand that the analytics say, oh, he's going to start third time through the lineup, all that, 100 pitches or whatever. But when you got a guy, especially in the postseason, where they're like, there's no tomorrow. It's game six.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, you're not pitching again until next year. So, you know, and I'm sure that's what he said to the manager. But it's just, I would be absolutely furious.
Yeah, there are times. The guy. You got to 100%, throw analytics out the window at certain times because they just don't matter. April. This is different. Yeah. 100%. It's a different world, different feeling. And you definitely love when you have a pitcher who has that dog in him, who's willing to say, no, man, I got this. Shouts to Zach Gallen, in particular, the Arizona Diamondbacks. He just threw a complete game shutout against the Cubs, his last start out there, where he was at that 100-pitch limit going into the ninth inning. And shouts to his manager for him to get to four batters, let one on, but they let him get out. So it's just like, respect the managers that you got that. But at the same point in time, you see managers where they don't pull them early enough and they just get shelled. And you're like, yo, you should have pulled them last inning, my man. They were eating him up already. Mm-hmm. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Mm-hmm. You know, so sometimes manager, it's a tough job out there, but sometimes let the guy shine.
Agreed. All right, let's take a quick break and just remind you guys, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Talking about practice, Dro, Derek, Stepman Brad, Rude Dog, Noobs, all in the building today. We want to give a shout out to our friends at Friends of the Arts, your local state partner with the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity and producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter to stay in the know. If you are interested or want an event listed, visit friendsof.art. All right, there you have it. It's been a couple of weeks, but Derek is back. We're happy to have him. And so it's time to catch you up on what's going on around the world. Derek Isimaki has the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isimaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, I got a couple good stories for y'all, because obviously, got to come in hot. Got to come in hot with the good sauce for you. And that's what I always do for y'all. I always try to think about what is the best story I can bring to your attention that will get me in the most trouble. And that's what we're doing here right now, starting off strong. Now, whenever you're buying anything online, there's always a little bit something in the back of my head that thinks, maybe I really shouldn't be doing this. I'm putting my information out there, using my credit card and whatnot. It's dumb. Yet, we all fall into it. And yet, I make that voice as quiet as possible when I'm buying it out, because I'm like, it doesn't really matter. I've done it so many times. They already know where I live. They already know what I'm getting. The only problem is, though, I'm okay with the people I never see knowing my information, because I'll never see them. That's fine. They're out of sight, out of mind. But the moment it's made public to everyone to see what my buying information might be, whatever it might be, your Amazon list, you don't need to see that right now. You don't need to know that I bought a 10-pack of got sour gummy bears because I'm tired of going to the store every single day. No, I just want to have a big shipment shipped to me, okay? I just want one of those. It's called being proactive. Give me a crate. Thank you. There we go. Give the man a crate. He's on. Yeah, I want a crate of the sour gummies. Okay, I'm not gonna go to the store every single time. It's called being dollar smart, right there. Yeah. Okay, and losing your teeth one by one. But there's certain information out there that some people buy that is sensitive, right? Very sensitive. You're just like, yeah, this is for my own personal use, or me and my partner's own personal use. There's a company out there that recently had their information unleashed to the world. Now, unfortunately for the people who buy this product, it's male genitalia to chastity belt. There we go. A chastity belt for your penis.
Whoa.
Yeah, because there's some guys out there that just want so hard to make sure they never until they have to.
That makes no sense how that's going to work, but okay.
Yeah, apparently just wrap it around that thing.
That
just
is not a good business model.
No, I don't think so. Either way, maybe there's a kink world out there that wants to pretend like, hey, I can't until you take the key. Like, you have the key to this desire. So that might be the idea. The whole you are the one that controls this.
I think more women are going to be ordering
right?
that.
Right? Yeah, for the men. Like, yeah, lock you up. Right. And I got the key. You know, whenever you go on like a bachelor trip or something, like lock and seal, right? You know, keep it tight.
4 days in a row.
Yeah. Either way, that information has been leaked. Now, the story was obviously, you see that type of caption. I got to click on it. I got to see where it takes me, because obviously there's many questions that arise. Like, how do they find out that this information became public, and why did the person make that information public? To aware, because obviously the company got hacked by somebody. But then who let the information know that it was hacked? Are the people out there seeing it? I don't know. Apparently there's one man out there that this is what he does. He loves to find this kinky information. He wanted to stay anonymous because he wants to keep his professional life and kink life different, which, respect.
Huh.
If you don't know kink shame, don't at all. Let it happen. Wrap it up, y'all, if you really want to. But I think there are other ways to doing that. But again, I think it's got to be like the idea of like somebody's got the keys to my freedom, you know?
Right.
I don't want to really go behind bars, but let's just test this theory out about what I really protect most, you know? The family jewels.
Huh.
So careful out there, people. When you're buying online, you never know what might come out to the public eye. We keep it pushing, y'all. We keep pushing from penis chastity belts to mummies and cars. Yeah! And you're thinking, Derek, this is a weird transition right now. They always are weird. They're never supposed to be succinct. Never are. But we go to Peru. We keep it international now. Where a man was pulled over and was found that he had a 600 to 800-year-old mummy in his possession.
What?
What? Yeah, exactly. Questions arise. 100%. What? Huh. Now, apparently, this man in question,
Peru,
found it as a companion for him that he's had in his family for quite some time. Juanita is the name of said mummy.
That's amazing.
Oh, my dude. We go from one king to another, y'all. Mummies. Necrophilia in a special way. Like, long-dead necrophilia right there. Either way, never really expressed that it was in any way sexual. It wasn't intended. I'm just making that alleged assumption right now, because you keep something around like that for...
All my relationships with mummies are strictly platonic.
Platonic, 100%. There we go. Yeah, who am I to judge? I don't know how it's supposed to be. But either way, apparently there was a task force that was set out to try to essentially find this. There was, again, many questions arise as you read this article, because it didn't seem like it was a regular traffic stop. It really felt like they were trying to track down this mummy to preserve it for Peruvian history. Because obviously, when you know, something that old, it's got to have some history in there. You know, how do you're going to learn a lot from it. And they did learn that it's not Juanita, it's actually Juan. It is not a Juanita.
Oh, so it was his daddy, not his mummy.
Yeah, it was his daddy. Yeah.
Nice.
There you go.
Beautiful. Very nice.
So, mummies in cars, 600 to 800 years old. I gotta imagine. I mean, granted, I think when you mummify something, you like remove the stench. Like that's kind of like the idea, right? I don't know. But still a dead body in there, right?
It's still a body.
It's hollowed out.
Yeah.
It's
like been
all the guts have been taken out.
Yeah, you got the.
I mean, there's still some stench. It's just a different type of stench.
Yeah, not dead body stench.
Yeah, not dead body stench. Embalming stench.
Still. Yeah. So, you never know when you get pulled over what might come out of that situation. But again, I think this is like the way the article was written made it seem like there was a task force out there was tracking this man down to try to get their mummy back, because everyone misses them. They want them back.
Yeah. Call your mummies, everybody.
Yeah, it's important. I talked to mine today. It was glorious.
Nice.
Platonic, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's the news.
All right. So, real quick, just came out. Aaron Rodgers will not return to the game because of ankle injury, but x-rays were negative.
Doesn't matter. Ooh. All I care about is right now. Dude.
Yeah.
I was going to say, man, if I wait. So I was going to say, I saw Bryce Wilson in the game right now. So
Zach Wilson. Yes.
Either
so
way.
Aaron Rodgers could be a Bryce very easily. Bryce. Look at his face.
He looks like a Bryce.
He looks like a Bryce.
A Chad, a Brad, all of the above. He could be
accurate.
Yeah. But either way, so Aaron Rodgers got hurt.
Aaron Rodgers got hurt.
On the first drive.
He's out.
First drive. Wow.
But,
Jets, baby. Love it.
J-E-T-S. Jets. It was like the third play of the game, too. Something
like an iconic figure going down in New York on 9/11. Wow.
Yeah. How dare you, Aaron Rodgers?
Okay.
I take it back. New Jersey.
Close enough.
All right. Let's bring on Aaron.
Can you say too soon, even if it's been 22 years?
Yeah, I think so. I think this one.
I think in the case of 9/11,
No.
I feel like that's an appropriate time to have jokes like that. It's just, you know.
Let's bring on Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
Hold on. Oh, we're doing all right. Your brother just had the joke of the day.
Joke of the decade.
That's 22 years.
Yeah.
Right?
There it is.
Joke of the century. There we go.
Aaron, what's up? America, number one. Let's talk some U.S. Open.
We sure did. God bless America and Coco Gauff. 19-year-old phenom beats Aria Sabalenka of... I forgot where. I don't
know. Doesn't matter. Not America.
Belarus. There we go. Yeah, Belarus. Either way.
Nobody cares. Incredible win by Coco. She dropped the first set.
Yeah.
Wasn't looking great. In the middle of the second set, she really found her stride. She played amazing. Ended up winning in three sets to be the youngest American in like 20 years. Serena was the last team to win it. She's got an incredible career ahead of her. We're looking forward to it since Serena has officially retired and there wasn't a whole lot of American talent on the horizon other than Coco. So very exciting.
Yeah, we needed that. And let's go over to the men's side. The Joker with another Open Championship.
He sure did. He played against Daniil Medvedev. It was number 24 for him. He had a whole tribute to Kobe, which was pretty cool that he won in the U.S. Number 24, tribute to Kobe. He is officially the greatest men's tennis player of all time with this number 24. So it kind of all came together perfectly, especially considering he's had a rough few years at the U.S. Open. Last year, he couldn't even play. And the guy's fun to watch. Like, he won in straight sets. Daniil Medvedev, I think... based on the fact that he won in straight sets, it doesn't seem like Medvedev really gave him a run for his money, but that second set was very exciting.
We have no good American guys out there. We have like a couple out there, but it's unfortunate. But I did love the irony of a Moderna-sponsored event won by the famous anti-vaxxer Novak Djokovic. So shouts to Novak.
Oh, really?
Fighting the good fight right now.
And the fact that his name is Novak.
Novak.
You can't make this stuff up.
You don't joke about it, okay?
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
And, Novak Djokovic.
And they give him the Moderna-sponsored shot of the day as well.
Yes, so, yes. That's right.
Oh, he got the shot of the day without
just
getting
brilliant.
The shot.
Absolutely brilliant.
That's epic. Irony.
You can't. Not make this stuff
wow,
up.
Wow, that is.
I cool. wanted to run back because I kind of sped through this just because we're running short on time. But Coco Gauff, being a young American, one of the things that you need in tennis is you need some personality, and she's got it in spades. And for a younger generation, I just absolutely loved her calling out her haters. She said, and I quote, "Those who thought they were putting water on my fire were really pouring gasoline, and I'm burning so bright right now." Mm-hmm. Shouts to the haters. I absolutely love it. This is what we need in golf. Like I said, I love trash talk. And, you know.
Who was the, was Coco Gauff the girl that was like initially like hater talking to the media, or was that somebody else?
No, that was Naomi.
Osaka. Yeah. We deserve better than Osaka.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Giving
Coco
we got golf.
Any day.
Yep.
All right.
I'm with
yeah.
you. Real quick, I did want to cover, what was it, UFC 293 this past weekend?
Yep. Israel Adesanya versus Sean Strickland. This was in Sydney, Australia. So this was a kind of a home fight for Israel. We thought that he was going to take it away, no problem. He was a huge favorite in this fight. And Sean Strickland, fighting out of Corona, California, absolutely decimated him. He had his number. Izzy had nothing. He just did not look like himself. That's how good Sean was. Every move he knew of Izzy's, and he won by unanimous decision. And I think it's safe to say that the judges made the right call. He's officially the middleweight champ. So we'll probably see them run this one back.
That's awesome. Yeah. I thought Adesanya had it, so I was kind of surprised by the result. We have questions, but we're going to have to do them next week because we are running short on time. I did my absolute best, and I failed us miserably. So to all our listeners who sent in questions, we'll get to you next week. None of them seemed all that pressing, to be honest. So
they're all pressing, bro.
Okay, that's fair.
Yes.
So we'll have you
Sorry,
back.
Sorry, listeners. You don't matter.
Yeah. Drew.
Just turn it off
though.
Now.
Yeah, stop sending us stuff, right?
It is a sports show, so.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And there's a lot of sports happening. Excellent as always, Aaron. We will catch up with you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
All right, later, Aaron. All right, that was Aaron, our foreign correspondent, classing up the show as she always does. Rudy, let's get to some picks real quick, sir.
Yes, sir.
To me, what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy.
I'm gambling again.
Solid week one, both college football, Colorado, baby. I'm still riding this damn wave.
At home against Colorado State, I'm taking them at minus 23.5 because they're going to smoke them by 40. I got the Niners on the road against the Rams. It's currently a minus 8. I'm hoping that comes down to minus 7. If not, I'm still going to take them. And last but not least, the Chargers on the road against Tennessee at minus 3. I'm going to take all those individually, parlay them all together, and tease them as well. So
that initial stat was awful. The way you're like, I wish, I hope it's this, but I'll still stick with this.
That yeah, so are you going to tease them down? Yeah.
No, I'm going to take them individually. Okay. It's at minus 8.
You said it was, we wish it was minus 7, though. But you still take a minus 8.
Yeah. So
again, not very confident.
No, I'm a... So I'm
100%, people don't, a much better number. You're only looking at one touchdown.
So I would have said, yeah, don't take him at 8, take him at 7 then. That's what, I feel like that's what the advice should be. If you see it at 7,
take him minus 7.
There you go.
All right.
Take him minus 7 by the point. Thank
don't
you,
get
Derek.
That 8.
But you're saying high confidence level on pulling him down to 1 or 2.
Yes. 100%.
I love it.
So, yeah, less is more, guys. Less is more. Don't try to choose every damn team because you're not going to win that way. So let's go get this bunny.
Even though we're still going to get you parlay play later in the week. Just because we're confident. Week 1, week 2 is when we shine, baby.
Yeah, something to look out for, too, is pleasers. I don't know how many people out there ever played a pleaser.
Uh-oh.
What's a pleaser?
It's the opposite of a teaser. So instead of, say you like someone at minus 7, instead of pulling them down to minus 1, right, on a 6-point, what you do is you push them up to 13. Like if you think they're going to blow them out. Like you think Colorado's going to, right? So you're that confident they're going to cover 23.5. You
said I like that.
So you could get them at 29.5. Right, if
and then way better
it,
odds,
and then you put it with one other,
yeah.
And instead of a regular parlay that plays 2.6 to 1,
mm-hmm.
two teamers plays 6 to 1, a three teamer plays 25 to 1. So it's a lot of times in college football,
mm-hmm.
right, where like you have like a big point spread and you think it could be even bigger, or you take like a home dog, right, a 6-point home dog that you're like, oh, they could easily win, so you get them at a pick 'em, right, or like just even in the NFL, like yesterday. Tampa Bay would be a good example. I think they were a 6-point dog on the road.
Yeah.
Right? So you could push them down to a pick 'em. They won the game. You know?
Yeah.
So it's just something to look at. Play out. It's like throwing darts at a dartboard. But when you're getting 25 to 1, that's, especially with some of those really high point spreads in college, it's something to look at.
Yeah. Noted.
I love it.
Noted.
All right.
Thank you.
We got to check out this pleaser. Speaking of pleasing her, our boy, Stepman Brad with the North State Update. I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
About to please his soon-to-be wife. Yeah, that's what's happening.
That's what I'm talking about. I meant please, not like a please her, like a please.
Brad.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, and it's been a long, it's a Monday. It's been a long day.
Let's get through this. I was going to try and do a please thing, but you know.
Please don't.
Yeah. So. The men's soccer doing great this year. They had a great win against Simon Fraser and St. Martin's up there in the land up north, El Canada. They win 2-0 and 5-0 against Simon Fraser and St. Martin's, bringing them to a 4-0 or a 4-0 start to the season. They'll be taking on Biola and Dominican at home this weekend. It'll be a 7 o'clock start on Thursday and a 7 o'clock start on Saturday. Now going to the women. Let's try that one more time. There we go. They had a little bit of a rough start in the season, and they went split the series against Regis and Colorado School of Mines, who actually found out are top ranked in the country, number 4 in the nation. So again, reasonable loss there, but they come back and turn it around against Central Washington and Seattle Pacific, beating Central Washington 3-0 and Seattle Pacific 1-0. They're going to be headed to Azusa or Biola and Azusa this weekend, so heading down to Southern California. They'll be playing them 7 p.m. start time and an 11 a.m. start time on Saturday. So check them out online as they are playing. And we're going to go to prep football real quick. Chico High got the victory this last Friday, 36-21 against Yuba City. PV, I apologize. I said they were playing this weekend or this past Friday. They were not. They were off. They're going to be playing Oak Ridge this Friday at 7 p.m. at home. So, again, start a where they rank in the California rankings against Oak Ridge and then also Central Catholic, and then Rancho Cotati. Durham got to back to their winning ways,
beating Oroville handily 44-6, so good for them after losing two games in one-point games. So it'll be fun to see how that goes. And they have Paradise coming up this Friday at 7:30. I'm in the college mood right now where all the games are happening on the weekend. So again, Paradise, 7:30. They're going to be up in Paradise. So if you want to travel up on the ridge to go watch Durham play, they'll be up there at 7:30. And that is my North State update.
Excellent work, sir. Good job, everyone.
Woo!
Fun day. We didn't even get to cover college football, which is really disappointing because all 12 of the college football teams I root for won. I would love to talk about Texas beating Alabama. Michigan continues to look good. Coach Prime got me so inspired. I bought tickets to go to Colorado November 11th. And that's pretty much all I got.
Nice.
All right. Excellent. Thank you for listening. Thank you, noobs, for joining us. Hopefully, we'll have you.